Praise the Lord. Well, if you would open your copy of God's Word to the book of Colossians this morning. Be reading from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 this morning. Let's hear the word of God. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we gather here, Father, we pray that the reality that we just read in these words, words that are your words, words that are magnificent and gloriously true this morning, words that we have not even begun to plumb the depths of. Father, would you use them to strengthen faith? Would you use them to kindle faith? Would you use them to comfort? And Father, would you use them to cultivate hope and life and joy this morning? We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, this morning, for the first time in a long time, we are gathered together, and we're gathered together to sing the Lord's praises and to sit under His Word, but also, for the first time in a long time, we're gathered together to share in the Lord's Supper this morning, something we have not been able to do, and something that I believe all of us have been looking forward to doing. And so as we prepare for that beautiful meal this morning, I want to spend our time looking at this passage of Scripture, which declares to us the glorious reality that's present in this meal, in the bread and in the wine, in the bread broken, and in the cup poured out. And so we want to look now this morning at this passage from Colossians. And as we look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we see that in this meal before us this morning, we have a proclamation of cosmic proportions. We have a proclamation that extends into the very depths of created reality. Here we have a declaration of God's work in delivering His people from the domain of darkness and transferring them into the kingdom of His beloved Son. As we gather this morning, we gather as those who are people of the kingdom. Those who indeed have come out of this kingdom of darkness have been transferred into a kingdom of light, into a kingdom of love, into a kingdom of peace, into a kingdom of joy, into the kingdom of the crucified and risen, exalted and reigning Savior, Jesus the Christ. This meal is a meal that declares to us, that proclaims to us. It's a meal in which we remember and a meal in which we proclaim. We usually look at those words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and there we read that this meal is a place wherein we remember Christ's body broken and His blood poured out, but it's also a meal wherein we proclaim that death. And in proclaiming the death of the Lord Jesus Christ here this morning, we proclaim these realities in verse 13. We proclaim that there is indeed a kingdom of darkness. We proclaim that the kingdom of darkness is the kingdom, the domain in which all of us were born in our sin, the domain in which all of us lived under sin, the domain where Satan holds sway, the prince of the power of the air, the domain in which all, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, walk as willing slaves of Satan and of sin. As we gather here this morning and we prepare for this meal, we are making that declaration for the world to see that we are those who were in that domain. We were under that sway, and we had no hope of escaping from that domain in our own power. Indeed, left to ourselves, we did not even want to escape the domain of darkness. We were happy in the darkness. We were willingly giving ourselves to sin as obedient slaves. This is an amazing proclamation that we make this morning in this meal. And yet here as we gather, we proclaim that that is no longer a reality for those of us who have turned from sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. We are those who have been transferred by the power of God Almighty through the working of His Spirit as the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ came to us. We have been transferred from that domain, the domain in which sin reigned, the domain in which Satan holds power, the domain under which we were guilty and condemned, and we've been transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And so we make a proclamation of a kingdom here this morning. We've talked about many times that the fundamental confession of Christians is that Jesus is Lord. And as we come to this meal, whenever we come to this meal, we confess that again. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord of Lords. He reigns supreme over all things at the right hand of the Father. He has won the victory for His people. And He now, at this very moment, is trampling all His enemies under His feet, bit by bit by bit, until that last enemy, death itself, will be cast into hell forever. That's the kingdom to which we belong. That's the kingdom into which we have been transferred by the mighty working of God Himself. And so this is a pretty profound meal that we come to. This is no ordinary feast. This is a declaration of hope, and it's a declaration of defiance. Because as those who've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness and now belong to the kingdom of the beloved Son of God, who is Lord supreme over all, we stand, and as we come to the meal, we declare that kingdom that we once belonged to, that domain under which we once were slaves and held captive. We declare that no longer do we belong there. No longer does that domain of darkness have any power over us. No longer are we slaves to sin and Satan, but now we belong body and soul to Jesus Christ our Lord. We belong body and soul to Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. We belong no longer to the kingdom of this world, but to the kingdom of the exalted Son of God. And so we make a bold and defiant declaration every time we assemble together as God's people, and every time we lift the bread, we lift the cup, we declare to the world we no longer belong to that kingdom, not because of something we did, but by the abundant mercy and grace of God to break into our darkness, to break into hearts that were turned against Him, to break into wills that were set in our own path, and to bring us life, to make us alive together with Christ, to work the redemption that we so desperately needed. These are the things that we proclaim as we come to this meal this morning. And as we read in the next verse, we see what that transfer involved. What was needed for us to be taken out of that kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the beloved Son? How did God do it? What did God take on our behalf to move us from this kingdom to that kingdom? And in looking at verse 14, we see the need of every human being on planet Earth, outlined in two things. First, we see that we have redemption in the Son of God. We have redemption. That word domain in the first verse speaks to a realm of authority, a realm of power. In the domain of darkness, those who belong to that domain are under the power and under the sovereignty of sin and Satan. In bondage, in slavery, and in need of redemption. In need of deliverance through the payment of a price. The scriptures tell us that as those who have transgressed the law of God, as those who have rejected Him in His rightful place as Creator and King and Sovereign over us, we are liable to the curse of the law. And we need to be delivered out from under that curse. And the way that we are delivered out from under the curse of the law is through the payment of a price. The payment is Christ Himself, who became a curse for us, that we might be redeemed from under the curse of the law. Redemption is needed for those who are slaves of sin, those who are in bondage to sin. And the scriptures tell us in Romans chapter 6 that anyone who presents themselves, presents their members, presents their body, presents their minds, presents their will to sin as an obedient slave, to deception, willingly engaging in deceit and lying, to any kind of immorality, sexual immorality and lust, as a willing and obedient slave who gives themselves to that. To anyone who gives themselves to anger and bitterness and malice, such a person is a slave to sin. A slave to sin. And the only way to be released from that bondage, to be released from that slavery, is if a Savior comes and accomplishes the redemption that we so desperately need. And that Savior has come, and His name is Jesus. He came to do what we could not do in keeping perfectly the law of His Father. And He came to take what we deserved in the curse of the law, to deliver us from that bondage which we willingly walked in. And He did it through His cross. He did it through His death. The perfect Lamb of God, the perfect substitute, the only innocent victim in the history of the world, willingly laying down His life in the place of sinful slaves. In Jesus we have redemption, verse 14 says. It's that redemption, it's that deliverance that we proclaim, that we declare, that we remember, and that we rest in as we come to the Lord's table, as we come to the bread broken for sinners, as we come to the cup, Christ's blood poured out as a new covenant in His blood. But Paul goes on to say that we have in Christ the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The principal part of our redemption in Jesus Christ is forgiveness. Sitting here this morning, sometimes we can think of forgiveness far too abstractly. The forgiveness of sins. We can think of sins far too vaguely to truly grasp and rest in what Jesus has done for us this morning. We need to think of this very specifically. You can just walk through the clear proclamation in God's word of His rightful demands of all people. That we worship Him and Him alone. With the totality of our beings, body, soul, mind, and strength. Anything less is sin. Deserving of an eternal punishment under the wrath of a good and righteous God. The law of God says that we should not murder, and Christ tells us that doesn't just mean that as long as you don't physically kill someone, you're fine, you're not guilty of breaking that command. The Lord Jesus tells us that if you harbor anger towards another human being in your heart, the seeds of murder are there. You are guilty before a holy and righteous God. Have you lied? Have you coveted what belongs to your neighbor? Have you walked in bitterness? Have you walked in unbelief? Have you walked in selfishness? The list goes on. And God's word is so clear in James chapter 2 and verse 10. It tells us that if you keep the entirety of the law but fail in one point, you are guilty of transgressing the entire thing. How could that be, you say? Well, James tells us, because the same almighty, good, and glorious God who says you shall not murder says you shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. One God utters all those words, and they are good and righteous, and they have a rightful claim on you, and you fail in one point. You've offended that good God. You've broken His holy word, and you are guilty. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that there is a record. A record of debt that stands against us with legal demands. Every sin, every transgression of the law of God recorded in the mind of an omniscient, all-knowing, holy and righteous God. Every single one. Have you grappled with that yourself? Your list is long, like my list is long. It's recorded. It's a record of debt. And the debt that is owed for that record of transgressions is an eternal debt. The debt you owe is the very life you have laid down to suffer under the righteous and just wrath of God for all eternity. That is the debt. But what does it say there in chapter 2 and verse 14? It says that He canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. And so in Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins. You feel the weight of that record hanging over your head, something you cannot bear, something you cannot escape from. And Jesus takes it all in His own person to the cross to deal with it once for all. And now, in Jesus Christ is available to every individual who would cast themselves upon His grace and His mercy, who would look to His cross. You can have real, true, eternal forgiveness. The record is set aside. The record is gone in Jesus. It is dealt with. The guilt that you have because of your sins and the penalty that you deserve on account of your guilt is gone in Jesus Christ. It is there no more for you to bear. And in this meal, we make that proclamation again as a people. All of this we deserve, God's wrath for all of eternity, and yet He has come to us in His Son, and He has offered us forgiveness. He has accomplished for us forgiveness, and He has declared to you and to me who are in Jesus Christ forgiven, released from the penalty of your sins, released from the guilt that you bear. In Jesus, it is gone. Notice it is a present active verb. We have redemption. In Jesus Christ, redemption is now, delivered now. In Jesus Christ, forgiveness is now, forgiven now. And we make that proclamation in this meal that we're about to take. His body broken for us, His blood poured out for us. And brothers and sisters and friends, the application for every one of us this morning is exactly the same. You have sin, go to Jesus Christ. Look to the one in whom is redemption, in whom is the forgiveness of sins, because there is no other place to be delivered from bondage to sin and self and Satan. There is no other place to receive forgiveness once for all. It is only found in Jesus Christ. So look to Him this morning. Look to Him in faith. It is free for you to receive. Trust in Jesus Christ. Little ones, if you were selfish, you yanked that toy away from your brother or sister, that is a sin, and you are guilty before God. Forgiveness is to be found in Jesus Christ. Deliverance from the power of sin. Deliverance from the domain of darkness. Look to Jesus. Every one of you this morning, look to Jesus Christ. And it's not only that we find forgiveness and redemption in Jesus, and so by faith we must be united in Jesus, but we are also united together as we come to Jesus. And that's another thing that we proclaim as we come to this meal. If we just look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, chapter 10, notice that Paul says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. As we come here this morning, we proclaim not only our union with Christ and redemption and forgiveness in Him, but we also proclaim our union with one another as we are united to Jesus Christ. Because we partake of the one bread, the one loaf, with it, which is Jesus. And so we are united in Him. The proclamation that we make in this meal is to the world. There is salvation in no one else, but only in Jesus. There is hope of reconciliation with different tribes and no one else but in only in Jesus. As we look at a world around us that again shows its sway, that it's under the domain of darkness, we hold up high the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaim the kingdom of the beloved Son is the place in which we find redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Only here can we see reconciliation. Only here can we see restoration. Only here can we have forgiveness. So I would invite you now to take the elements and let's listen to one more passage of Scripture. This meal is for those who have repented of their sins and cast themselves wholly upon Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Trusting not in themselves, trusting not in their works, trusting not in the world, trusting not in any earthly thing, but trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if that's you this morning, we invite you to share this meal. And this meal proclaims to a watching world that here redemption is offered. Here forgiveness is available in Jesus. So cast yourself upon Him and find what you so desperately need. It is offered without cost. It is offered freely. It is to be received by faith alone. So I'm going to read these words and then we'll take the bread together and we'll take the cup together. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Brothers and sisters, let us remember and let us proclaim. The Lord, as we prepare to once again close by singing the doxology, let's hear one more time these words and let them be in your mind and in your heart, and let them be your hope this week. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.